listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, this wonderful, the last day of November of 2022. Wow. Karen is with me. I'm David, by the way. Karen, welcome.
Good morning.
And we have on the line and waiting to come on the air, Sue Chess, who is the executive director of CareNet of the Treasure Coast, right?
That's right. Good morning, everybody.
I got to put you on the air. We have one announcement before we get to you, Sue, or actually two. First of all, we let people know when there's opportunities for people to serve in the Martin County advisory committees, and we currently have, we have a notice that the Neighborhood Advisory Committee has several vacancies for people who live in those neighborhoods, Golden Gate, Hope Sound, Old Palm City, and Port Salerno, and Jensen Beach. Relative to the community redevelopment and advising Martin County as to how to deal with that. And if you are living in those areas, you're a resident of Martin County, a registered voter, and other, there's other things you can find out, but you can call Donna Gordon at 288-5756, or send her an email at dgordon@martin.fl.us. The other quick announcement we want to make is many of you turned on your radio to listen to Wednesday Live last week, and all you got was static. And the reason why is we had a power outage at the tower, and when the power was restored, the power surge blew out a couple of critical pieces in the transmitter. So where we are today is that we have a temporary transmitter installed by the engineer until a part comes in to fix the main transmitter. That transmitter is only 10,000 watts, so it's 10% of our full 100,000 watts we normally run. So some of you aren't getting this broadcast very well, and some of you aren't getting it at all, which means you're not even hearing this. But the thing is, I spoke to the engineer this morning, and we are definitely, the part's on the way. It's been shipped, and we're praying that it's not being shipped by donkey train through the Carpathian Mountains by blind monks, and that's their main ministry. No, we anticipate that it's going to be coming from a regular American transporter. So anyway, pray for that. Maybe this week we'll get our main transmitter on, and then, of course, we're all praying about new equipment, God willing. And that's it. Sue Chess, welcome. I'm so glad that you could call in today and be a part of this. I have one question for you, and then after that, there are things that I believe you'd like our listeners to know, and I'm just going to let you carry that ball. But first of all, you know, after Roe v. Wade ended, if you will, the Supreme Court shut that puppy down. But in the wake of that, there's been a lot of misunderstandings, I think intentional obfuscation, if you will. And so there's a lot of things people still need to know about abortion and what Roe v. Wade going away means and what how the involved states are involved. So you've done such an eloquent job in the past to of covering that ground. So I'm just going to lay that out before you and ask you to share with us.
Well, David, thank you so much. I feel like it's a very relevant topic for the day in which we live. It is an amazing thing that Roe was overturned in our country on June 24th after so many years of abortion on demand. It's I don't think that we give it enough praise, the fact that this took place. But I also think that we need to take a step back sometimes and say, okay, what exactly does that mean? I had somebody say to me the other day, well, now abortion is illegal in our country, so why is CareNet needed? And it really took me aback, because I'm always amazed by how much we don't know in our country, in our world of information. When there's information at our fingertips, how much we do not know. And the truth is that abortion is not illegal. It simply meant that it sent this whole discussion back to the states. So whatever your state had set up as a law becomes the law of that state. When you cross a state line into another state, you are entering the laws of their state when it comes to abortion. And that is what the overturn of Roe meant. Basically, what the Supreme Court was saying is that this is not supposed to be decided by a federal court. It's supposed to be decided by your states. So that brings us back, if you live in the state of Florida, it brings us back to the law that was recently put in place in our state, which is that up until the 15th week of development in the womb, it is still legal to get an abortion in our state. Unfortunately, we're becoming an abortion destination state because our surrounding states of Florida they have no abortion laws. The states do, which that means there's going to be an increase of abortion in the state of Florida. Take a minute to let that shock set in, because you would think that that's not what happened with the overturn of Roe. But all of the misinformation begins right clear back at what does it even mean?
Exactly. There was also in one particular issue is that I think coming mainly from the left, but there was again in misinformation about, well, when Roe v. Wade is gone now, if you have a ectopic pregnancy or some other very unusual circumstance, that you would not be able to have that taken care of.
Yeah, that is absolutely incorrect. You have always been allowed to do an abortion, I mean, in order to save the life of someone. And in the case of ectopic pregnancy, a girl's life is literally threatened, because an ectopic pregnancy basically is a pregnancy that has been started and is settling into the fallopian tube of a woman's body. And there's no room for the baby to grow in the fallopian tube. So as it grows, it becomes a threat to the mother of exploding inside of her. So an ectopic pregnancy is actually life-threatening, and they have always been able to do to remove an ectopic pregnancy. Same with a miscarriage. If she has miscarried that baby, they will be able to remove that baby, but they're going to determine that the baby is indeed truly deceased before they will do it. So that's how that has changed. It has always been and will always be legal to take the life of the infant if it is threatening the life of the mother. Then it's always about saving life, not ending life. So the mother's life would be saved when, indeed, both of them would be lost if you did nothing to remove this baby that has deceased inside of her.
It sounds like a measure we've seen before, where people use fear to gain control by
exactly
totally squelching the truth.
Yes. I mean, abortion clinics have even gone to their websites and scrubbed information from their website that would give her the information she needs when she goes asking questions, like, for instance, about miscarriage. The information used to be on their website saying that it is that you can it is always okay to remove the baby if she has miscarried. They have removed the information that would give her necessary education. They've removed it because they want to increase the fear, because it works in their favor to have the public angry over this law. Indeed, we know that it greatly affected the last election. Abortion did. Mm-hmm. And the fear of women losing rights caused women to go out and vote for the most liberal candidate in order to keep what they thought was their rights.
That brings up an interesting point, and it's been made before in terms of constitutional rights. And the breakdown in the discussion of constitutional rights and abortion seems to be an appropriate breakdown, I might add, from my view anyway, is that when you're talking about abortion and a woman's right, what they would put it under reproductive health, it totally ignores the fact that an entirely separate human being with different DNA is growing inside of them.
Indeed. I mean, when I speak to students, I love to explain that by the time the fetus is 10 weeks old, that it has its own separate fingerprints. From the moment of conception, the DNA is different from the mother. This is not an extension of her body. It is another body within her body. And therefore, as a person, this other body has rights and individual protections deserved for itself.
I think often, and please, when I finish what I'm trying to say, jump in. We're dealing again with a common moral disconnect in our culture, and it's not true just to America, it's all over the world, but a moral and theological disconnect in terms of how we understand life.
It's true. We have really lost that ability to understand that moral division. Please don't think that I am unsympathetic to what women face with an unplanned pregnancy. I am not unsympathetic to that. No one who does what I do, working with men and women facing unplanned pregnancies in their life, and yes, I realize that men are affected by this as well. And it is not an easy situation to face and to work through. But that moral dilemma that you described there, she will not choose abortion without it changing her from the inside out. So I am profoundly 100% pro-life, because I recognize and realize that that is not done, an abortion is not done without consequence. And from where I sit and from what I watch in the world and in those of people around me, is that the moral dilemma, there is a sacrifice that she will make for her own morality if she makes a decision for abortion. And if he pressures her to abort, he will also sacrifice his own moral standing in doing that.
Amen. As a pastor, for several decades, I've again and again had ladies come into my office who've gone through abortions, and I can't think of anyone that was there because they wanted to celebrate that. They were there because their whole spiritual life was out of order, and their whole life was out of order because they had not been able to resolve the guilt that came out of that.
Yes. And Dave, sadly, churches don't touch this subject enough, because they frequently, it's because pastors don't know how to deal with it, so they just don't touch it. They leave it alone. But the reality is, by leaving her closed in with her pain, by leaving him separated from sharing the pain of that abortion, it actually does more damage than if you even inadequately dealt with it. So don't avoid the topic in your church and in your congregation. As you preach, as you teach and you talk about moral standing, don't leave this one out when you begin to delve into the difficult sins that affect us. Amen. In every way, shape, or form, because this does as well.
So we're going to go to some music, and then when we come back in our next segment, I'm sure we piqued a lot of curiosity about, well, what can I do now? And CareNet of the Treasure Coast is there to help. I'd like you to, when we come back, to address what you do, not just for the woman who is pregnant, but also the male in her life who helped get her that way. Okay?
So, absolutely.
All
Let's
right,
do it.
We shall return. Revival, which is a great theme. God is doing that, by the way.
That's what we're looking for.
Every now and then, turn off your TV, go outside and listen to the people screaming, enjoy the name of Jesus. Anyway, we have with us Sue Chess, who's the Executive Director of CareNet of the Treasure Coast. And we have been asking her several questions. And while we were on the break, Karen came up with a question or two, and I'd like you to just ask Sue.
And I did, because you had mentioned, Dave, that, you know, that pastors or churches maybe do not talk about this particular subject. So, Sue, I just wanted to ask you, is CareNet available to actually speak to churches? You know, maybe a pastor would want to address this to the congregation. You know, do you offer help in that area?
We absolutely do. I mean, we have speakers, especially we have coming up in January, the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And what a neat time to kind of showcase the overturn of Roe and what it means and how it affects God's people and what it doesn't mean. So, yes, we have speakers that are available. We'll be in many churches on the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, which is January 22nd. If you're interested in being involved and you want any of CareNet's information, please give us a call at 772-828-3168. That's 772-828-3168 to have a speaker come in and speak at your church or to also get bulletin inserts. We also send out a video. We have a video that showcases in a very compassionate, upbeat way what we are, what the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is all about, and just celebrating the overturn of Roe, but also then having a chance at the end of the video. It's just a very short 2-minute video. The end of it highlights the compassionate approach of CareNet to come alongside girls facing unplanned pregnancies. So please, please get your church involved in that. Give us a call at 772-828-3168 to take advantage of these free supplies and this free speaker. There's never a charge for CareNet coming in. Although I will tell you that CareNet is always asking for donations. Obviously, what we do for our clients is free, but it's never free to provide. In fact, it only increases in cost all the time. You can call the center if you'd like to make a donation, or you can also just go to CareNet Friends, CareNetFriendsTC.com or CareNetTC.com and click on Donate or Support. But we would love to hear from you in any regard. We hope to have somebody come in and speak on the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday in January.
What date in January?
January 22nd.
22nd, okay.
Yes.
And did you have another question, Karen?
Yeah, actually, Sue, the you know, Dave had mentioned the word obfuscate, which, you know, those who are pro-choice have obfuscated. You know, there's a lot involved in this in women's health care. So they've lumped everything together, miscarriage, ectopic pregnancies, and elective abortions as, you know, so that's how they perceive, and there might be other areas that the pro-choice movement just lumps it all together. Yet, the pro-life movement is... The issue is elective abortions.
Yeah.
That's what the pro-life people are after, is the ones that want elective abortions, but we do not agree with that at all.
Elective. Yes, if God is the author of life, God should be the author of when life ends. And so we're pro-life from womb to the tomb, and God gets to make that choice. We don't, and we should not choose to have an abortion. And yes, you're right, that's an elective abortion, one that you elect to have. A spontaneous abortion, on the other hand, is a miscarriage, and it's something that happens without you trying to do something to end that life. It's a totally different matter than an elective abortion. Christians do nothing but come alongside and support and help somebody who's faced a spontaneous abortion, because we understand the loss of life, and we come alongside and grieve and mourn and support in any way that we can at CareNet. And any good Christian should do the same.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's say there's, I'm not going to say let's say, hypothetically, I'm sure there's at least one woman listening today who has just discovered or recently discovered that she's pregnant, and it's not an expected pregnancy, and she's thinking about calling you. What would she expect if she calls you?
If she called us, we would simply ask her if she knows how far along she is, or if she knows what, if she's asking about abortion, we would ask her if she knows what kind of abortion she wants to have, because the truth is very few people understand how abortion is done, and that's one of the things that we do here at CareNet. I don't know if you're aware of the fact that the abortion pill has increased to 54% of all abortions are now done through abortion pill, but there is a way that abortion pill can be reversed. if you have taken the first of two pills, you can take something that would interrupt that abortion pill and reverse it. I loved reading just the other day that there have been 4,000 abortion pill reversals that have been done so far, and that number constantly increases because more and more women are changing their mind once they take that first abortion pill, and then interrupting that process through taking other medication. And we can connect them to people that can do that for them, reverse that pill. If they take that first one and they change their mind and wish they had not done so. But if she called our center, we would make an appointment to bring her in to do a free pregnancy test, a free ultrasound. We would talk her through all of her options. We would make connections in the community for her to get the need, the needs that she has met and walk alongside her. We literally stay in her life with her during the time that she's pregnant and even beyond if she wants it. We do parenting classes, baby supplies, community connections, all of those things that she needs when she's faced an unplanned pregnancy.
I want to touch back a little bit about the ultrasound, because I know that's a very pivotal thing to do. Mm-hmm. That once women and sometimes the male who's a part of that sees that, they change their mind. What's the percentage of people, women especially, who are able to see that fetus growing in their womb, who decide to have that child? And then if there's a statistic on how many desire to keep that child instead of adopting it out?
86% of women will change their mind about having an abortion if they allow us to show them an ultrasound. Sometimes that number goes a little higher, sometimes it goes a little lower, depending on the year by year. But generally speaking, 86 to 90% of women will change their mind if they allow us to show them an ultrasound. The vast majority of those women will keep their babies rather than place their babies for adoption. But if they choose to place the baby for adoption, again, we will stay in contact with her all during the time that she's carrying this baby. We will connect her to the local adoption agencies. We'll even go to the hospital and be there with her when she has that baby, because we realize that that can be a very heart-wrenching process of having the baby and placing it in the arms of another woman. But we will walk that whole journey with her if she will allow us to do so, because we are her advocate. We are the client advocate all during that process.
And I've known this before, but I have to say I'm so impressed with how the Holy Spirit has become so wonderfully invested and infused in CareNet of the Treasure Coast Ministry, because that's what the Spirit does, comes alongside of us and enables us to come alongside of those in need. And there you are,
awesome,
serving God. It's awesome.
Yes, that is just a beautiful picture, but it is true. We come alongside her as the Holy Spirit comes alongside us. I love it.
Our time is rapidly dissipating, which I'm sad to say, but in the time we have left, I'd like for you to first give our listeners a phone numbers that they can use. It's most especially if you're a woman who has an unexpected pregnancy, how they can call, and then that website again for donation. And then if you would offer, I would like you to pray for the ministry of CareNet on the Treasure Coast.
All right, again, that phone number here at the office is 772-828-3168. 772-828-3168. Please call us. You will find compassion and love on the other end of that phone if you will give us a call. And the website for donations is carenetfriends.com, and click on the donate button, carenetfriends.com. And then I would love to pray for the ministry of CareNet. Mm. God, you see this ministry every day as we open our arms and we open our doors at our three locations, two in Port St. Lucie and one in Stuart every day. And God, our goal and our desire is to come alongside men and women facing unplanned pregnancies. yes, we know that, that women are the ones that make the decision, but we also know that fathers need to be involved. So it's our goal to connect them, Lord. So we pray that you will give us the opportunity to do that over and over and over again. I think about the ultrasounds that will be done here in the Port St. Lucie office on Thursday night. And God, I ask that you would be here in the midst, that every girl that's considering abortion, that she will have her eyes opened to truth and choose life. I thank you for the many women that have chosen life over the past year. My heart is always touched when I watch those numbers go up every year. You are doing a good and wonderful thing in this place, God. Even more so, Father, is the joy that it brings to each of us when we are able to lead a man and a woman to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We realize, Father, that a person in crises who turns to you then has someone to walk through that crisis with them. So our goal and our desire, Father, is that every man, woman, and child would come to know Jesus as their personal through that crisis with them to this earth as a child in order to live in our hearts and to make a difference in our lives. And we pray that you will enable not just us here at CareNet, but WCNO and every person who is within the sound of my voice to also do their part and reach those around them for Jesus Christ. We want to change the world. Person by person, we want to do that through Jesus Christ. And so in your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Sue, thank you so much for joining us today. And I know you'll be back with us because you're in the fast lane and there's a lot of stuff happening.
So, well, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to your wonderful listeners today. God bless you,
God
guys.
Bless you.
I appreciate you.
Bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that was great. In a moment or two, we're going to have Pastor Rick Harmon, I hope, to talk about an event there at Palm City New Hope here in Palm City, which is a great place to name a church, Palm City New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Karen, while we're waiting for that, you have any thoughts about what's going on and what God's spoken to you? God always speaks to you. In fact, I'm praying and he says, wait a minute, I'm talking to Karen. No, it doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't. But, you know, it's just always great to hear from Sue.
It is.
And just such an important ministry, what they're doing. And I, you know, only had wished that that was around when I was going through my crisis as a teenager.
Yeah, I understand that. And back in that day, there were really very few resources.
Yes, and
no thoughts
about obfuscation.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were no resources.
So I think we might have Pastor Rick on the phone, but I haven't been given permission.
Just transfer it in.
It's going to transfer in any moment now. So, yes.
I think Sherry's waiting for it to just, for the phone to do something itself. There you go.
Okay. Pastor Rick.
Hey,
brother.
How you doing?
Doing great, brother. You are on the air, and you have a wonderful event coming up, Christmas-focused event at Palm City New Hope. Tell us about it, bro.
Well, it's what we call the Grand Miracle. It's our Christmas present to the Treasure Coast. This is our 14th Grand Miracle. It is a interactive Jerusalem village and a walk-through nativity. And it's not this Friday night, but next Friday night, December the 9th, and then Saturday, December the 10th, from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. It is free, and everybody's invited.
Wow, that's cool. Tell us how long this has been going on and what people can expect when they come.
Okay, well, like I said, this is our 14th one that we've done it. So we've been doing it 15 years. We took a year off because of COVID. Had to, but besides that, we've done it for the last 14 years now. And basically, most everything is free. There is some food and drinks available for those that need to purchase something. But basically, in the interactive village, they can make ornaments, crafts. There's gifts available to purchase. They can make bread, Jewish dancing. We have our Jewish dancing team. We'll do some dancing for them. They'll hear and see the Christmas story. They sample Bible time food.
Okay.
all kinds of stuff. Well, hey, you know,
you're thinking baby Jesus coming in the manger. I got that.
Right, and my grandson is coming in March, so I'll have grandson 14 minutes away instead of 14 hours, so praise God.
Praise God, but brother, you're too young to have a grandson.
Well, you know, I was 16 and had a baby. She was 16 and had a baby, so I'm 32 and I'm a grandpa.
Okay.
Yeah. Or I'm just a good mathematician. So
okay, better than I am, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, now, if people want to know more about this, is there a number they can call?
Yes, they can either go to our website, www.pcnh, for Palm City, New Hope, pcnh.church. And it'll pop right up on the landing page, and they can go to it. Or they can call the church office at 772-283-8343.
All right. And if anyone missed that, they can call the station here, too. We have all those numbers and information. Brother, our time is up, but I want to thank you for calling that in. We pray God will bless this ministry of Palm City New Hope with a lot of folks coming out to celebrate and get involved.
Amen, brother. Thank you, Jonathan. We love WCNO. People, support WCNO and come see us at the Grand Miracle at Palm City New Hope, December the 9th and 10th.
Praise the Lord. Thanks, brother. God bless you.
Goodbye, brother.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon.
And I also have that running on the community calendar for this week and next week.
So. And the community calendar airs when, Karen?
Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Right. So if you're not an early riser...
Yeah.
Hello. We got, I bet we got John Nelson on the phone.
Hi, guys.
Hey, John. Hey, this is David. I know I sound like Jonathan, but...
You know, you really had me fooled there from that. I thought you were Jonathan.
Yeah, we sound very much alike.
You cloned him while you ate Thanksgiving.
The what?
You cloned him.
Well, you know, he's been out of town on a very needed getaway with his family, and they're driving back today, so we've been praying for travel mercies for them. But, yeah, I'm here, and you're here. We've got about 8 minutes and 2 seconds or less to have you tell us what's going on with Families Recover.
Okay. Are you ready for that right now?
Yes, sir. Lay it on us. You're on the air, bro.
You know, Families Recover is a donation-based 501c3. We've been working with the Miami Heat and doing golf tournaments for years, and we're able to squeeze in an event March 3rd where we're going to take 50 foster kids from various counties down to the Miami Heat game for a stadium event. They get to go on the court, they get to high-five the players, and it's just a cool way to give back. You know, these kids have been through stuff that we don't even want to talk about. But anyway, that's one of the events we're going to be doing. We're going to be 4 trips next year. But, you know, after COVID cleared up, everybody's just now getting back on their regular donations and event stuff. And then we're at the golf course now getting ready to tee off at Sandpiper Bay where we did our golf tournament last year. And on it's going to probably be the following Friday after Father's Day. We're going to hold our event afternoon, a shotgun start, and it's going to be a scramble. We had an incredible event last year. We had Mr. Masters from your station, and we just had a blast out there. You know, it's raising money for a good cause. We're a human trafficking advocate also, so, you know, we're out there trying to rescue people, getting people into treatment, you know, helping single moms that are getting their kids back. There's such a shortage of housing out there that's affordable. You know, we get a lot of people that have done everything they can to get their kids back in their life, and if they can't have an address, they can't get the kids. So a lot of kids, we need to pray really hard for our community to come up with resources or housing developments that are cheap enough for these men and women that have done everything they can to get their kids back and still can't because of the rents being so high. So, I mean, that's two of the events we got going on. We're giving away a lot of presents. The kids in the community for Christmas. You know, we have a lot of people that donate towards that, and we thank them for that.
That's really cool, John. And one point, you know, we like to make to our listeners is that many of the ministries that we showcase here exist or they function because God has provided resources through giving hearts. And And that's no different for Families Recover. All the work that you do, all the lives that God is saving through your, and by when I say saving lives, it's not just that life that's saved because they're pulled back from the brink of drug and alcohol addiction and human trafficking, but also that many come to Christ through your ministry. And so the point is, to those who are listening and have a heart to be givers, how can people donate to Families Recover?
So they can go on our website, www.familiesrecover.org. We have a secure site there to donate. Call me. We give out the phone number throughout the day on the commercials that we do with you guys. And we're so blessed through that. But my phone number is 772-285-5828. Also, I want to say this. Anybody can contact your station. It's an addicted. We're doing a big Christmas party Saturday, and it's a Toys for Tots drive for people in addiction. And friends of mine, Mitch and Rhonda, have done that for 13 years. And last year, we helped 85 kids get a present from somebody in their family, the mom or dad. They weren't able to do it, and we were actually able to ship that. So they can call the station and get my number if they need that information. Like I said, that's this Saturday, and we need information before the 17th. That way we can get it shipped out. You know, it's just, it's not just us. You know, we team up with a lot of other ministries, a lot of other nonprofits. I think that's what makes us different. You know, a lot of people are worried that you're trying to get your hand into their pie. You know, our needs have always been met. Does the piggy bank go low? Yes. But somehow, some way, the door stays open and we keep on being able to help people. I became a minister 2 years ago, and it's something, and thankfully coming up this next year, we're going to be able to put a whole lot more effort in other areas of the ministry and familiesrecover.org. I'm kind of handing off the reins of my business to my son, and that's going to free us up to go out and do more God's work, and that's what we're here for.
Amen. Amen. And I invite our listeners to not just give if they can, but to invest some time in prayer for Families Recover and for all those ministries like yours, because I'm a sober alcoholic, a delivered alcoholic, I guess, coming up on 19 years. By the grace of God
delivered.
Only, yeah. I mean, I attended AA and then Celebrate Recovery, but I just did that, you know, but I was delivered. That everything God took away, the chains were broken, as our brother Keith loves to talk about, and it's true.
That's right, and Keith is a big proponent of that type of stuff, and we've had, you know, we started a meeting on the river after COVID shut down the hall, and we just watched four of our brothers that came a year ago, all four of them are still sober a year later.
Praise God.
You know, whether you find addiction treatment through Celebrate Recovery, through whatever means, I mean, I'm an AA guy, and I say that that works for me, but I don't believe today as an addiction nonprofit, it's the only avenue. Right. Find what works for you and go do it. And then get back to being a family member. You know, it's the most important thing is to get back those kids.
It's the heart of relationships, and the family is the core.
Right.
And that's what you're doing. Well, as you know, the clock spins, and I don't want
an hour, but we already know that.
Well, yeah, I don't want you to go without, you know, if there's anything else on your heart that you can say in about a minute and 10 seconds.
Well, let's just pray it. Father, we just thank you for everything you did for us. We just have your birthday coming up, and we're so excited to shine that light. If there's anybody out there right now that's struggling with addiction, you can call the station and get my number.
Yes,
Lord. We can get the help that you need. And Father, we just thank you for the Thanksgiving things and just the four brothers that are standing strong and got their kids back in their lives, and you're a way maker. And we just thank you for the season in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
One last time, give your phone number, John.
772-285-5828.
And if he doesn't answer the phone, he's either napping or in the shower, right?
No, I'm sitting in a tee box right now over Lord. If I don't start playing golf right now, God only knows. You don't want to film me out there.
Okay,
that's
and then
terrible.
That's another reason is golf. You know, if he's ready to send that ball down the fairway, he probably won't answer.
That's
but
better.
Other than that, John, thank you, brother, for your faithfulness and your big heart. And we'll talk to you soon.
God bless you.
God bless you. You too. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Wow, wow, wow. Telling you what, I'm so excited that we have, I've never been in a place of ministry like here at WCNO. We're like a nexus for what God is doing. And on top of that, we have Donna Hilton with us today, who is, I'm going to put your mic on so we can actually hear you. And
amen.
Welcome, welcome, yes.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back in Martintown and Stewart and WCNO. I've been here so many times.
I know, we've missed you.
I know, I've missed you all too. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yeah. You're good.
Oh, okay, I'm good to go.
And I have to say to our listeners, many of whom know who Donna is, and for 20-some years, you and Gene, your husband, did Raising the Standard.
Yes.
A Saturday morning
hour
program of ministry and scripture and
teaching the end times, the roots, Jewish roots,
lifting that, very faithfully doing that. And of course we were all saddened when that changed, and when Gene, but we can't be sad about Gene being with Jesus.
No, he's with the Lord.
He's with the Lord. And you're still here doing a tremendous ministry.
Amen.
You're going to share with us a little bit about how the Bible reading marathon went this year.
Yes, amen.
And that's been going on for how many years now?
Well, this was the 22nd year.
Wow.
And it went absolutely fabulous. It was it takes 90 hours to read the entire Bible, 5 days. Always starts on November the 11th, which is Veterans Day. I'll give a plug for next year.
Again. Please do.
You know me, always giving plugs.
Yep.
But it's a blessing to be sitting here with Karen, with you, and I miss Jonathan, but I'll have to pop back in and see him because I'm going to be here a few more days in Stewart. And just being back in Stewart, just feeling the anointing, you know?
Yeah.
And we enjoyed, Pastor Gene and I enjoyed doing the radio program so many years and teaching and seeing a lot of people here in Stewart. I don't really want to cry. I'm not going to, but praise God.
We have such a history here.
We do have a history over 30 years, and I think Pastor Tom, when he was here, he said that we were the longest running radio program here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a blessing to be part of WCNO and the Treasure Coast and up and down. I mean, you know, people come from the Bible Marathon just from here on the radio, because you guys advertise it all the time for a few days before the event. And people come from Okeechobee, from all the way Fort Lauderdale. We have some readers that have come year after year from Fort Lauderdale, Vero Beach, up and down the Treasure Coast and far and west. You know, people read even from North Carolina. We have people calling in and wanting to read, and it's just such a blessing. But we finished 5 hours, I think almost 5 hours early this year.
Really?
Yeah, it takes 90 hours. And we turned it over to Eddie and Joanne Rodriguez. And they've been doing it for the last 5 years, and they've been really doing a fabulous job.
Wow.
They just took it over just like it was just meant to be, you know, just God. And they do it just the way the Lord showed us. And I'm just there, just a blessing to continue this, you know. And you ask a little bit about the Bible Marathon. Well, you know, people ask me all the time. You know, there's people that still haven't heard about it.
Yeah.
And it's been 22 years. I mean, we had new readers down there this time. And of course, we've had some readers. I think about Joe Paradise and Judy and people from the Ashley Taylor and a lot of people from businesses around that have been there for 22 years. They've come and been faithful readers for the last 22 years. But there's been new people. There were so many new people that came this year that had never heard about it. And even people came and sat there and said, gee, we didn't know this was going on. So, you know, when the word needs to get out, just like you were talking with this other gentleman about these children and the salvation, there's so many people that need Jesus.
Amen.
Right now. So many people need Jesus, and so many young people. And, of course, we're right there by the school, and the kids walk over there and prayed for some of the children. You know, Ogie, you guys know Ogie. She prayed with a bunch of kids, and just people get touched. They may not even come up and read. But just hearing the word of God going forth from Martin County, and some people say, well, what's the importance of that? You know, sometimes there's a lot of people down there. Sometimes there may be only a few. You know?
Yeah.
But the word does not return void. What does the Bible say? God's word goes forth and it doesn't return void. And a couple questions that I have been asked is, why has this been going on for 22 years? And I'm just going to read a scripture. This is one of the scriptures. This is the scripture the Lord gave us back when we started this Bible reading marathon in 2001. And hold on 1 second here. Okay. It comes from Psalm 138. And I'm just going to read verse 1 and 2 from the King James Bible. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Well, you think that's just singing, don't you? Sing praise? Well, verse 2 also clears it up. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. God's word is truth, isn't
Amen.
It?
Amen.
Hallelujah. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So his word is magnified. His word is a way of worship and declaring and decreeing a matter. And so as we're reading the Bible from Genesis 1:1 all the way through to the very end, we are declaring God's word and speaking it forth. And I just want to back up. I don't know how much time I have, but just one of
I'll give you a sign, but you got about 8 minutes.
Oh, well, okay. I can say a lot in 8 minutes. We can preach the gospel, right? Hallelujah. But when a lot of people ask me, well, you know, what caused all this to start? Well, after the towers came down in 2001, a lot of people know this, some people don't. In 2001, the Lord spoke to our hearts to have a Bible reading marathon before Thanksgiving. And so he said it would be protection for our nation against terrorism. So, you know, we must be obedient to the word of God.
Amen.
And one of the presidents, Bush, he declared Bible reading back in 1990, I believe it was, in Washington, D.C. And so we said, okay, God. And Pathways helped us to get this all going, and so we gave out 250 DVDs to pastors around the churches around the city, and we had a big turnout that year. It was a big job, and Pastor Gene and I probably spent 70 hours down there at that time. Of course, we were a bit younger at that time, you know. And but anyways, for that to be protection against terrorism. Well, we think about what happened, what's going on in that time with Afghanistan and all that going on. And so I said to the Lord, where do you want to have this? Because he said it would be protection. And so he also said that we were to have 12 flags for government. We're bringing the government and the church as one and bringing forth God's word. And so I looked for 12 flags, and I couldn't find flags at that time because you couldn't find any flags at that time. Everyone was flying flags. So I happened to go by, was driving down. This is just a way people can know who are listening, that they can hear from God. They can hear God's voice. You don't have to be a prophet, but you can hear God's voice, because it says in Revelation 19:10, it says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. God speaks to us through his spirit to our spirit. So as I was going down Federal Highway, the Lord told me to go over into Joann Fabric. I did not know why I was going to Joann Fabric, but I turned in there and went there. And as I walked in the door, I saw these red and white stripes, probably about 6 feet from me. And I kind of like was in shock. And so I went over and I looked at them, and I could not believe they were flag panels. You know, and so they only had 3 flag panels there, and I said, well, I need 12, and so praise God, Joann Fabric was able to find 6 of them from Palm Beach, and the rest of them came from the Indian River area. So I knew this was a Treasure Coast thing. You know, this Treasure Coast has many treasures in it. Many people are treasures, but there's also a reason why it's called the Treasure Coast. We won't get into that, but anyways, I got these, and so the Lord was showing me this was a Treasure Coast event. And so people came from all around. The next thing was, where are you going to have it? Well, I felt I wanted to have it at the gazebo, but the Lord said no, at the bandshell. So I did not know why I was having it at the bandshell, but, you know, that's where we started. Now, this is where it comes in when you plan, when God tells you something and you do it and you have to follow it step by step and you don't know all the plans. You know, you're just following it, but as you take a step forward, God shows you the next thing to do or why you're doing it in a certain place. So the next thing happened was during the middle of the night, one night, one lady came over and she was listening to the Word of God. And she said, I can't sleep. And I said, well, I'm sorry. Is it bothering you? She said, oh, no, I just had to come over here and sit and listen. And I asked her if she wanted to read. She says, no, I just want to listen. So then I heard the Spirit say to me, because I said, Lord, why are we facing the water? Why aren't we facing the United States if this is protection over our nation? And so as she spoke that to me about the water, she says, I'm on the water. I saw waves coming back over. Oh. I saw rushing waves, huge waves coming back, maybe 50 feet high. Huge waves coming back over towards me. And I said, oh, I see now. You are covering this nation with your protection of your word. Yeah. But why are we going that way? So the next thing I said, I heard the Lord say, get a compass. I had people bring a compass over the next morning. Well, Dr. Julie Bjornson, which you probably all know, she was very instrumental in this first marathon. She wanted to put maps all over across. So we had a map of the world, the United States, Florida, the county, you know, all on that back wall. So we got the compass, and we, from there, several people figured out we were facing Jerusalem. And we thought, oh, my gosh. And so Julie took the marker, and she drew from Martin County to Jerusalem and followed it straight through. It went right through the center of Afghanistan.
Wow. Wow.
If that praise doesn't God. Give you goosebumps, I don't know what will.
Absolutely.
What will. So I said, okay, thank you, Lord. I know now, Amen. Lord. And so this scripture, which the Lord had already given us to read, we were facing Israel, facing Jerusalem, speaking those words and speaking those blessings and knowing that God's word's not going to return void. And so it continues and it continues. So, you know, that was such a marvelous thing. And then so many testimonies came. I can think of probably write a book. I'll just tell you one. There, a man came up. We had a lot of alcoholic people come by, and that would bring beer on there, or were trying to, you know. Anyways, we had the police and all that. But this one gentleman came, and he was drunk, and he sat down, and I walked by him, and I said, "Would you like to read?" And he said, "No, I can't read." And a couple other times I walked by him, he just stayed there. And then one time I walked by, I was walking up and down. It was like in the middle of the night, and he said, "Do you think I could read?" And I said, yeah, you can read. So he came up, and he read the. We were in Psalms, and he read that when David repented. He was reading that, and about halfway through it, he started crying and couldn't read it anymore. So, you know, God touches people's hearts. It's all about God touching people's hearts. And anyone can read. People can come out, children. We've had all ages, elderly, young. I think the youngest was maybe four, and coming to read. And so I would just encourage people to think about it, to pray about it, remember it, come out and read next year, November the 11th. It always starts on Veterans Day, right after the parade. And you could call Pastor Eddie and Joanne Rodriguez. And you want me to give their phone number?
Could you please? Sure.
Sure, love to. And you can get in touch with them, and they will be glad to help you. And anyone wants to start a Bible reading marathon, we started one in Venice, and it's been very successful over there in Venice. Anyways, their phone number is it's Pastor Eddie and Joanne Rodriguez. It's area code 561-670-0469. That's 561-670-0469, and I'm sure they can get that number from you guys if they want to.
we can help them, and they can also pick up this on demand on our website for today. As soon as we're done, it should go on there. Our time is almost up. Donna, thank you for being a part of this, Pastor Donna. And you know, I just want to just throw out that for people, when you think about the Bible reading marathon, it is not just about people reading the Bible.
That's right.
Like you would go home and read a novel. It is a time of great anointing, Holy Spirit moving in a powerful way.
Yes.
In and through the reading and the hearing of the word, lives are changed. And it goes beyond that particular part of the park near the bandshell.
Amen.
As you just heard, it goes into other places where God wants that reading and that prayer to go. think about being a part of it next year. God bless you. Thank you for listening. We will be hitting the close. And then, of course, what's that feller's name in Texas? Charles Swindoll will be on it.
Oh,
God bless
Lord.
You.
Thank you.
'Cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move, all things are possible.